That is the call of a northern bobwhite quail that was recorded in Ohio back in 1975, and it comes from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. The number of quail has declined 85% since 1966. Bobwhites were common in much of the southern half of the lower peninsula of Michigan, but today they're pretty rare. Joining us to tell us why the bobwhite quail population has dropped so dramatically is Al Stewart. He's an upland game bird specialist with the Department of Natural Resources. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Lester. It's great to be able to talk with you about quail. I really love quail.
Yeah, I do too. You know, although I've never actually heard or seen a bobwhite since I lived in Michigan, and that's approaching a couple of decades now, tell us what the northern bobwhite quail looks like.
Well, it's a small bird, probably the size of a softball. It has dappling kind of brown shades of feathers, you know, very cryptic camouflage to hide in the grasses and weeds. And then the male has some white up on its head around the eye streak area. And the female has yellow in there with a little yellow throat patch. So they're fairly versatile birds in being able to get around in the grass. And we're talking shorter grass and grass not like what you would mow in your yard, but grass like you would find out in a field or like we would call it an oak savanna
right.
area.
And they're ground birds. How common was the northern bobwhite back in the, say, 1950s, early 60s?
They were very common, actually. You know, those were the days when most people lived on farms. Agriculture was king, but it was a family farm, so it was smaller farm. You know, you had some cows and some small grains and some chickens. So there was a nice diversity of grasses and small grain fields. And so they thrived in that type of environment.
Right.
But, you know, since that time, we've changed some of our agricultural practices, and the family farms have, you know, really changed their structure quite a bit.
Right. And I wanted to talk about that. You know, as you said, they like native grasslands. They like crops that aren't plowed, hedgerows, fence rows, brushy ditches with native plants. So what happened to all of that habitat?
Well, a few things we don't know about quail yet, but a couple things we really do know is that asphalt doesn't produce too many of them. Since the 50s, we put in a lot more roads. We put in a lot more shopping markets or, you know, areas like that. And, you know, that's consumed some of the habitat that's out there.
I know farmers removed a lot of the fence rows and started basically plowing from ditch to ditch to get a little bit more production. They also, you know, are using different pesticides than they were back then. What kind of impact have those things had on the northern bobwhite quail?
Well, I think that kind of comes and goes. That, you know, maybe the 50s, early 60s, at the time of things like DDT that we now know was not a, you know, great chemical to have on the landscape. But since then, you know, the agricultural community has been very sensitive to that as well. And what really impacts quail more than anything else is winter. And ice and cold, you know, freezing rain and ice like that is devastating to quail. So as an example, like in, you know, 1903, 1904, that winter, there was a terrible ice storm, and quail numbers in Michigan plummeted. And in 1978, there was a similar type storm that occurred throughout southern Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, and it just knocked those quail numbers right down. And then, like we're talking about, we've seen changes in habitat as well, or, you know, places where quail live. You know, civilization has changed, and quail are one of those critters that they have some really specific needs, and, you know, their home range is fairly small, less than a square mile, more like three quarters of a mile. I mean, that's where they live their life. They're not migratory. They're ground nesting birds. They don't really fly up into trees and, you know, roost up there at night. They're a ground-related bird.
So in 1903 and 1978, you said there's these bad winters that really decimated the quail population. But in the intervening years, they bounced back. They haven't bounced back this time. So why?
Quail haven't bounced back in recent years because there's less good habitat on the landscape. Some of that habitat is more isolated that is out there, so it's not broad, large landscape habitats. It's small, almost postage stamp type areas. And, you know, again, we're looking at what's available for the birds. And so you have to be very surgical, very specific on providing the needs of the quail in a small area. And that's not being done as much.
So what's being done to restore quail populations?
Well, the Permanent Natural Resources, working with many partners, is moving forward to try and keep grasslands a high priority and get those out over, you know, people's farms or properties. And so right now you're hearing some of the talk about monarch butterflies, you know, and there's concern about their populations, and they use some of these grasslands as well. And so quail and monarch butterfly management are almost one and the same. And so there's programs that are available through USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, you know, the SAFE program, State Acres for Wildlife Enhancement. And these programs, you might know them more as CRP or crop reserve programs. That's to help with water quality. It's to help provide the habitat for a species like monarch butterflies that are really seeing very significant national and international declines. And we're moving forward to help make a difference there.
I understand there are some game bird farms. If a person thought they had good quail habitat, several acres of it, would buying birds and releasing them do any good?
If you have good habitat, you know, you could release some quail into that. Usually it's best to have really good habitat to start off with. And so you can go to the, you know, to the web and search what good quail habitat is and get that on the ground. We have a thing called the Michigan Pheasant Restoration Initiative, which is restoring habitat together, neighbors working with neighbors to do that. So the first thing is to get the good habitat in play. And then many times, you know, you can, birds like pheasants will show up, but if there are no quail there, you know, getting some quail could help jumpstart, you know, what you're working with. We found using wild quail or using wild birds is the way to restore populations. That's how we were able to restore wild turkeys to the state. And we've tried also using some wild pheasants in some areas with success. So, you know, if you could work on it that way, I think that's, you know, an excellent approach. The main thing, though, is to get the habitat on the ground.
I understand Michigan still has a hunting season for quail. Does anybody still hunt the bird?
Yeah, there's a limited number of people who, you know, really get out and participate. But yes, in, you know, some of those counties that are open, you know, the Livingston, St. Clair, Tuscola, Washtenaw, Hillsdale type counties, there are birds out there, and you know, there's still huntable populations in those areas. And then at a national level, there's the Northern Bobwhite Quail Initiative, and you know, some of the other states are working to improve and expand quail populations, maintain quail populations, because, again, weather is what makes or breaks these birds as far as their production. But they lay a dozen eggs to 14 eggs. They can have two broods or two family groups a year. So they're designed for boom or bust situations. If it's really great, you know, they're able to raise a dozen chicks, and if it's not so good, you know, they can get 3 to 5, kind of sustain the population. So, you know, these critters are designed for adverse conditions that way. And then some of the predators that we see on the birds are, you know, like feral house cats, some skunks, or some raccoons.
A lot more coyotes these days too.
You know, coyotes are one of those interesting animals, because what do coyotes eat sometimes? They eat skunks and possums. And what do possums eat? Baby chicks and eggs. So, you know, it's that mix of, everybody's trying to make a living.
We've been talking to upland game bird specialist and program leader at the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, Al Stewart, about the decline of the northern bobwhite quail in Michigan, and for that matter, across much of the United States. Al, thanks very much for telling us about it.
Well, it's great talking with you, Lester, and I'd be happy to talk about upland game birds with you anytime.